Wonderful. All right, Exodus 19. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert in Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answers back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." And Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, may they go up to the mountain.'" After Moses has gone down to the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in the fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, 'Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." Word of the Lord.
I do apologize, brother. I gave you a really long one here for this morning. That was a longer passage. But this is actually the beginning of the Mosaic Covenant, which goes all the way up until Exodus 34. So I could have gotten him to read all the way from 19 to 34, but we won't do that. You can go home and have a look at that yourself if you would like. If you haven't met me before, my name's Dave, and I am the intentional interim pastor here at the church at the moment. Am I coming through a little bit echoey? Does it sound a little funny? My own fault. I don't really know how to fix that, but if you're all able to hear me, that's the main thing. My apologies. My sermon has disappeared from my iPad technology. Now, At the moment, I am 35 years old, but there on the screen you can see a fresh-faced, younger Dave Luthy on the screen when I was in my early 20s. I travelled down to Tasmania to visit my brother and his family, and for those of you who have had the opportunity to go to Tasmania, it is a beautiful place to go to. It's a place where you can just drive for hours and enjoy the scenery that's around around the island. And one of the highlights, if you are able to make it to Tasmania, is climbing Cradle Mountain, if you're feeling fairly brave. It's not a short walk. It's about an eight-hour return trip to get to the top and back of Cradle Mountain. And as me and my brother were doing this climb, we suddenly realized that a whole heap of the poles along the way marking where you're supposed to go, they had been pulled out by someone who thought that it would be very funny for people to get lost along the way. And that is what happened to my brother and I. We did get lost along the way, and we ended up climbing over several extra peaks on the way to getting to the top of Cradle Mountain, and it took us around about three extra hours until we were able to reach the top. We were very tired by that time. Now, the biggest issue with all of that is that by the time we had gotten to the top of Cradle Mountain, we had run out of water. So then we began making the four-hour trip back down the mountain. Luckily, someone else had put the poles back, so we knew where we were going. And I have never, ever been so thirsty in my life. There were some school kids who had left their bags partway down the mountain as they were climbing up, and we saw their water bottles sitting right next to their bags, and we were very tempted to take some of their water. We didn't do that. We don't steal from school kids. It's all right. We also walked over a stream, and my brother said that that was contaminated water and we weren't able to drink it. It turns out when we got to the bottom of the mountain, we asked people about this, it's some of the purest water that you can get in the world, and we didn't drink any of it. Now, although it wasn't the most fun trip, you can see, even from myself on the left there, the views at the top of Cradle Mountain are stunning. They are beautiful. You are literally over the clouds when you were there at the very peak. Throughout history, mountaintops, they have been considered these sacred spaces, these places where humanity is able to interact with the divine. Mountains, they've been used as this illustration a lot of the time throughout Scripture, as this metaphor where heaven is able to meet and interact with earth. There are different times that we see this. Jerusalem is on top of Mount Zion. Elijah, he calls down fire on Mount Carmel. Jesus, he reveals his glory during the transfiguration on a mountaintop. And Moses meets with God, as we've just read, on Mount Sinai. We even use this phrase, many of us, having a mountaintop experience to describe these moments of clarity and divine connection that we can experience in everyday life. These moments, they symbolize this union of heaven, God's space, and earth, our space. And today, we're going to be looking at one of these mountaintop experiences, the one that we just read recently. But before we do that, I do just want to give a bit of context as to what we are going to be looking at this morning. This is a key time in the life of our church, as Tucker was just previously saying, because we are asking this question: what's next? What's next for the church at the Gabba? We began our series last week, and I really encourage you to listen to it online if you weren't able to be here. This series is more of a group of family talks rather than specific sermons, these three different weeks that we're going through this. Now, if you're here for the first time, really glad that you're able to be joining with us, and you'll be able to hear a little bit about what God's doing in our church community. And one of the things that has been sensed by the leadership of the church community is that we are entering into a new season, which is part of the reason that I am here. And we began last week by looking at the God who gives great vision to his people. All through Scripture, there are prophecies, dreams, covenants, where God is giving this picture to his people about where he is calling them to go. When God gives vision, he calls his people into greater things than even they have planned. This is what we looked at last week. God promises to provide even when it seems impossible. Our response is we are called to respond in faith and believe that God is the God of great vision. We are called to step forward in faith. And that is what Abraham does when he is given his covenant in the book of Genesis. Even when he doesn't understand the full picture about what God is doing, that when this covenant is made, he responds with faith. This covenant of God, it begins to unfold through the pages of Scripture. Israel, this nation, it begins to grow. Then the nation is enslaved in Egypt. Moses is raised up to be the leader of this nation, and we see the people being set free. Then in Exodus 19, a couple of months after the Israelites had been set free, they come into the desert to this place called Mount Sinai, the place where God was going to meet with his people and establish another covenant, another promise with his people. Following this moment that we read just before in Exodus 19, we see the birth of the Mosaic Covenant, this promise that God is making to his people, this nation wandering in the desert. In Exodus 24, Moses comes back down the mountain, and the people also, they make a commitment to adhere to what God wants for them. He then goes up again to be with God, and he gains some really clear guidance about how to construct things like the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle. This covenant over these several chapters is incredibly key for the Israelites because the Ten Commandments are given at this time as the summary of God's moral law. So that's a big summary of these several chapters from chapter 19 all the way through to 34. That's why I didn't get Draco to read all of it this morning. This is still something that is recognized as incredibly significant for Jewish people today. The other reason Moses' encounter with God is so key is because God's instructions about how to build the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle, this was going to be the physical place in which God's presence would dwell with his people. So what we have just read, this is a key passage of Scripture. Moses ascends the mountain to hear from God and given clear, important instructions for God's people about where they're going and what they should be doing. The best way to understand the Mosaic Covenant is that this is God setting up a bit of a framework for who the nation of Israel was going to be and where God was going to lead them into the future. Now, reflecting on what God has done here thousands of years ago, is this still the exact same way that we should be operating here today? Is it my job as the intentional interim senior pastor to ascend to the top of a mountain and tell you, this is where we are going, this is where this church is going, because God has told me? Is it Tucker's job to do that? There is some truth in that being somewhat important. It's just important that I ascend the mountain, metaphorically, that I am trying to hear from God where he is leading this church. Often God, he will speak to his leaders first about where he is calling them. But it's actually no longer just my job to hear from God by myself, because the Holy Spirit is no longer within a tabernacle. God is no longer saying that you cannot ascend the mountain or terrible things are going to happen to you. Rather, the Holy Spirit was released when Jesus died on the cross for us, and now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we ascend the mountain together. There is this Baptist principle. We are a Baptist church, whatever that means. We are a Baptist principle called the Lordship of Christ, which essentially overarches all of the other Baptist distinctives that we have. The Lordship of Christ, what it means is that every single person, if you are a follower of Jesus, you can all hear from God individually. That is very key. We should be the most Holy Spirit people around. I think the Pentecostals have that probably marked for themselves, but Baptists, we can come back with that. We can hear individually from God, but often God calls his people not just to respond individually, but to respond corporately. God is able to accomplish more through us together than just by ourselves. Because we, those who are Christ followers, are all a temple of the Holy Spirit. God is no longer just calling the leader to ascend the mountain and hear from him. We ascend the mountain together. And that is what God, I believe, is calling this church to do in this moment, to ascend the mountain together. And my role and the role of Tucker and other leaders within the church is, is to be the first ones heading on up there. Are there certain things that myself and Tucker and the church council probably believe that God is saying to our church and where he's calling us to? Of course there are. But this is a journey that we do together. Hearing his voice and finding moments of confirmation and agreement in what we sense God is saying to us. And then once God has spoken, it's my job, along with the rest of the church council, to bring together these different strands and find common threads and then allow you to be led into that future. And the way that this is going to look, practically, is that from the 22nd of February to the 15th of March, we're going to be entering into a period of 21 days of prayer and fasting. What we'll be doing is setting aside these 21 days from Monday in 2 weeks' time to ask God this question: what is God calling us into? This is how we ascend the mountain. What is he saying to our community here? There's nothing specifically special about 21 days. You can begin doing this right now. It doesn't have to wait until 2 weeks away. This is a period of time that Daniel set aside to fast and to seek God. And I really do believe that God is going to speak to our church collectively, but there will also be moments for you as individuals where God will speak to you as people. And so what will happen throughout these 21 days of prayer and fasting, there are going to be some cards available. They'll be available from next week, these little blank pieces of paper, and we will just simply have the question on these cards saying, where is God calling us? And I encourage you to take some of these cards with you, to take them home, and if there is something that you genuinely sense that God is saying for our church, to actually write it down and then bring it back, and there'll be some boxes where you're able to put these things. These cards, they are not things where we lay down our preferences at all, our worship styles or preaching styles or anything like that. What we are doing is trying to hear the voice of God. We're also going to be having prayer meetings during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. I invite all the life groups to come and join for one of them, and I invite everyone to commit to at least one of these prayer meetings. There'll be some guides available from next week as well, and there'll be some life group material sent out either later today or tomorrow. So that's the prayer side of things. But then fasting, which is something that is less familiar for many of us in the Western church. So why do we fast? Well, firstly, fasting, it deepens our hunger for God. We set aside more time for God. It increases our dependency on God. And God seems to, all throughout Scripture, and right up until this point today, he speaks in special ways to his people when they decide to fast and declare a dependency on him. You can fast from anything. Some of you, the best thing you might need to fast from is coffee. For others of you, the best thing you might need to fast from is Netflix. There are things that you are able to fast from, but it's deciding what is that thing so that you can increase your dependency on God. And just one tip when it comes to fasting as well, don't feel like you need to be a hero with it. If you've never fasted before, maybe going without food for all 21 days might be a little bit of a stretch, but see how you can go. Now, this process, as I said before, it's not about opinions. It's not about what I want or what anyone else wants. This is about what God wants for our church here. It's about ascending the mountain together, like Moses did, setting aside our preferences and discovering the heart of God. Now, coming back to the passage for a minute, what we were reading in Exodus 19. It's important to note that this covenant was actually different than the other covenants that are given from God throughout the Bible, in that this covenant is a conditional covenant. God is promising a certain blessing for the people of God if they are willing to obey and do what he has called them to. He is calling them to trust and follow his way. It's this two-way promise from God to the nation and from the nation to God. Between Exodus 19 and 24, this is what happens with Moses. Moses then comes down the mountain and he tells the people about how God has spoken. And the people's response in Exodus 24 verse 3 are these important words. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. That's their response. They stand together as a nation. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. They make this commitment to stand with one another and follow what God has called them into. Then Moses ascends back up the mountain, and this time he goes up the mountain. God is giving him very specific instructions about how the covenant will take effect. Moses, he's with God in this other trip. For 40 days and nights. And then in Exodus 32, Moses comes back down from the mountain and he finds the people have become impatient with the speed of how God is speaking. Then in Exodus 32, verse 1, it says, "When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come, make us gods who will come who will go before us.'" They have become impatient. These are the same people who just a few chapters before had said, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." They said that together as a nation. And then at this point, they are wanting metal cows to be made as their gods. 40 days earlier, they have said, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." After standing together as a nation, making a statement that they will pursue God, what God has called them to do, they feel like God's taking too long. And these are the exact same people who 6 months before had been were slaves in Egypt. They had seen God at work. They had heard from God. They had seen his presence come as a cloud and a pillar of fire. And still they become impatient with what God was doing, and so they chose to take things into their own hands. Now, going through this 21 days of prayer and fasting, going through this process, this is not something that just happens overnight. Nor will the reality of what God says to us happen overnight. But we can't fall into the trap that the Israelites did here in Exodus, where they decided they were going to take things into their own hands, and in doing that, they went against the promise that they had made together as a nation. We stand together and we say, "Everything that God will say, we will do," and then we are faithful in following his plans and purposes for the church. So don't get impatient. Don't try to anticipate what God might want to do. We're going to wait on God to speak and say everything that he says we will do. This is why we began this year with our series, Be Still. Because in order to do the will of God, we need to hear the voice of God. And the only way to listen is to be still and know that he is God. This covenant, it's given to Moses on Mount Sinai, which is sometimes called Mount Horeb. This is the place where Moses first encountered God in the burning bush. This is a really special place for Moses, where God speaks to him a lot. We know less about what it looked like when Moses received the covenant from God, but we do have a pretty clear picture of what it looks like to ascend the mountain to hear from God. So how do we do it? Firstly, be available. Be available to what God wants to say. You are never too busy to pray. You are never too busy to hear from God. Remove barriers. God told Moses to take off his sandals, for he was standing on holy ground. He didn't want there to be anything between himself and Moses. So if there is sin in your life that is providing a barrier between you and hearing from God, work through that over these next few weeks. Remove the barriers from your life. Recognize the presence of God. In verse 12 of chapter 3, we're told that I will be with you. God will be with you. Have faith and believe in God that he is who he says he is. And finally, expect there to be opposition. There was this moment where God is effectively saying to Moses that he will, meaning Pharaoh, will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him to do it. And finally, after all of this, I would also say, and this is not from Exodus, this is my personal opinion, don't go in prayer to God just to get answers. God is not a vending machine. The primary purpose of prayer is not to get more from God, it's to get more of God. It's to meet with him in relationship. Over this past week and several weeks before that as well, my eyes have been opened to the potential for this church. Tucker and I have both used this word several times in discussions with one another, that we both believe this is a church with great potential. I really do believe that God has a great future for the church at the Gabba here, and that he wants to work mightily through all of you. But it begins with us simply being still and hearing where God wants to lead into the future. And so for the rest of our time this morning, just before the worship team comes up, I was actually going to invite you to spend some time in prayer in small groups now. So I just invite you in a minute to split up into groups between 4 and 6-ish people and just spend some time just praying for our church, praying for the future of our church. If you are uncomfortable with this at all, or if it's your first time here or just visiting, don't feel like you have to join a group. Feel free to just remain seated where you are and just pray individually. After a few minutes, I'll close our time in prayer, and then the worship team will come and close our service. So I just invite you right now, just turn to the people around you and spend some time, a few minutes, praying for our church together. as we prepare in a couple of weeks for this time of prayer and fasting. Lord, we don't want to put boundaries or restrictions around you in any way. And so, Lord, if you are wanting to speak to us, even from now, we do pray, Lord, would you help us to have ears to hear what you are wanting to say. God, you are a God who is always speaking to us, and we want to listen. We want to hear your voice and be still and know that you are God. Lord, we pray that we might ascend the mountain together, that we will understand the power of your Spirit alive within us, that is the same Holy Spirit alive in us who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Lord, we pray that you might speak to us through your word. We thank you that we have these pages of Scripture where you are able to speak to us powerfully. And Lord, we pray that we might lay aside our personalities and preferences in favor of the will of the King of Kings. You are the one, King Jesus, who is Lord over this church. You have been so faithful to this church in the past. We celebrate what you have done in the past. You have accomplished great things in this church, but we look to the future with anticipation and expectation, knowing that you are the God of great vision who calls us to partner with you in the work that you are already doing. And so, Lord, we want to see the work that you are already doing. And we pray that you might empower us to do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to invite the team to come up and close our service.